Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
All right, guys, let's stand. We're going to read some amazing verses from the Bible this morning. Easter Sunday, how many of you are so thankful? I am so thankful. Oh, here we go. Okay, Matthew 28. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Can you say, "He is not here"? Mark 16, 5, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he told them. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." See the place where they put him. Can you say, "He is not here"? One more time. Actually, I lied. You're going to say it again. Luke 24. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. The men, by the way, these are angels. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." One more time. "He is not here. He is not here. He is not here." Jesus didn't leave a body to be found. He left a mystery to be embraced. I want to pray. God, we are just in awe of you and who you are. God, what you have done, Lord, in coming in flesh and blood to live among us, to die for us, to rise again in a brand new, not just life for you, but God, a brand new reality that you released. And God, we are so thankful. Would you open up our hearts? God, open up our minds to encounter Jesus, God, in your word, in a fresh new way, and to see ourselves in your eyes in a whole new way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, you can have a seat. Well, we have said many, many times, and what's so funny is my daughter and my husband, who was almost preaching the message, we did not talk about what this part of the service was going to be. So if it all seems like it's overlapping, God must be wanting to really focus on something and highlight something this morning. But Resurrection Sunday, what I need you to do for a minute, I need you, if you can, try to imagine you are Jesus on this Sunday. Your best friends are devastated having witnessed your crucifixion. They believe you are dead because you're in the grave for the last two days. But unbeknownst to them, you are not dead. You are actually alive. You have risen to life on the third day, just like you said. And you're hoping the disciples, your friends, remember what you can do with dead bodies. They knew a living Jesus outside a tomb could bring someone back to life. They'd already witnessed that a few weeks earlier with a guy by the name of Lazarus. But did they believe a dead Jesus inside the tomb could come back to life? Surely they will come to the tomb to find out. But here's the puzzle. Just think about it. Imagine you're Jesus. If your friends are already traumatized, and you do have good reason to believe they're going to show up at your tomb, if not out of expectation of your resurrection, if they've been listening, but then to at least mourn in grief at your tomb. Wouldn't it be the greatest of surprises to find you there at the tomb? Like maybe jumping out from behind the rock saying, "Hey, here I am! Woohoo!" Like, think about it. Wouldn't that be the best surprise, risen alive, to stand there waiting for, "Guys, I told you, why were you not listening?" Why was it that Jesus leaves an empty tomb for them to find instead of himself. Why was it important that they see an empty tomb before they encounter their risen Savior, Lord, and King? See, when Jesus rose from the dead, it didn't just prove something. Jesus rising from the dead wasn't just to prove that after death we would do the same. Something changed. Jesus rising from the dead changed everything. His resurrection became a disruptive reality. Can you say reality? It is a disruptive reality. See, what we see in these resurrection accounts are not just what happened to Jesus. We see how people actually encounter Jesus. And even for us, how God still meets people, how Jesus still meets people today, often in very unexpected and confusing and disorienting ways. These post-resurrection stories, Jesus rising from the dead, they're not only to give a historical account, but they also are a pattern of the journey that all of us are invited into as well in our own Jesus encounter. Whether you have been following Jesus for many, many, many decades, or you aren't, or you're just curious, there is a journey that God invites us into. And so I want to look at, this morning, I want to look at five things that the empty tomb teaches us about the reality of resurrection, about us experiencing resurrection life in our everyday life. Because what happened to Jesus wasn't just meant to be a one-off experience. It was meant to be a new reality that we experience in our everyday. Can you say everyday? Everyday. So number one, it starts this journey. It starts with the search. It's like the angel said to the women in each of these accounts, you are looking for Jesus. You're looking for Jesus. You're looking for something, and you might not know it's actually Jesus. Maybe you're looking for comfort. Maybe you're looking for strength. Maybe you're looking for hope. Maybe you're looking for help or for wisdom. I don't know what to do in this circumstance of my life. I need wisdom. Maybe you're looking for purpose. Maybe you're looking for hope or healing or answers for circumstances that are just beyond trying to sort out. Or maybe you're in a category, you very much are looking for Jesus. You know exactly it is Jesus you're looking for because you long to experience the realness of God's presence. Just like others say they experience God's presence, they experience the reality of Jesus, but you have yet to have that experience. See, what you've experienced instead is number two, confusion. He is not here. I'm going to read these again. Matthew 28, the angel told the women, don't be afraid because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. Mark 16, you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's risen. He is not here. Luke 24, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the man, he is not here. You might be the person who is doing everything right. You're doing everything you know to do, but he is not here. He is not where you expect him to be. In other words, God isn't acting like you thought he would, like you'd hoped he would, like you need him to. And it's like Mike had said earlier in prayer, your expectations of Jesus are met with disappointment. And you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, man, this is a very real part of the journey of following Jesus. You can be doing everything right and still feel disappointment. God, why do you feel so disappointed? Why do you feel so far away? You know, sometimes we've been sold this lie because of the mindset and the consumer culture that we live in, that everything good is only up and to the right. Well, I guess that looks to the left for you. Up and to the right. But in the ways of God, they're so different. God often disrupts our expectations before he reveals himself to us. And he disorients us on purpose. See, our own empty tomb experiences of confusion. Maybe for you it's grief. Maybe your empty tomb experiences more like unfulfilled desires or Jesus, where are you? And see, just like Jesus was doing nearly 2,000 years ago when he rose from the dead, these empty tomb experiences are meant to stir a longing in us, to prepare us for an encounter with a different kind of life. A different kind of life. Not life the way the world defines life. Not life according to the things we think will bring us life, or maybe even up until this point of life, maybe they have brought a semblance of life and excitement and one, but it always ebbs. And not life how we may want it, but true, genuine resurrection life. That is a different kind of life. It's different than just having physical life in your body and you're animated and you can do stuff. We're talking about life that Jesus said, abundant life, life to the full. So what does God do? Number three, God needs to confront the dead things that we look to for life. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." See, the angel's question, it had a literal answer. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. That's the literal answer. But it also, there's a universal thing that message is speaking to in us as well. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for life, for peace, for purpose, for security, for contentment? Why are you looking for that in the things that are dead, or the things that lead to death, or even, and this is where I feel like maybe most of us, many of us in this room are, what good things in life are we looking to bring us life that only Jesus can give us? I have news for you. Family is a wonderful thing, but it will not give you life. And any mother of babies knows this. They have a way of draining life. The good things in life that we look to for life, to give us hope, to give us a sense of purpose, maybe even our identity. What good things are we looking to for the life that only Jesus can give? What, maybe success, maybe a status or significance. If I just get this, man, this was so, I mean, maybe even relationships. You know, that was very much my story. I mean, I grew up in the church. I was a pastor's kid. Man, I knew a lot. I just did not really know Jesus. I thought I did. But I was looking to all sorts of other things to give me life. For me, it was like, you know, it was like rotating relationships. It was just like the revolving door of dating relationships. Is this relationship going to give me significance? Is this relationship going to give me a sense of security? Is this relationship, maybe this guy will be the one that brings me a sense of feeling like I'm wanted. And this is from somebody who grew up in a great home. I was not, my parents loved me. Man, parents, you can love your kids to heaven and back, and your kids may not still feel that love. Why? Because we are all broken, messed up, fallen human beings that desperately need an encounter with Jesus ourselves. And maybe it's success. Man, early years of church, and this I am so sad to say, up until the last several years, it was like, what, maybe this kind of church is going to give us approval, or the acceptance, or the sense of worth or belonging that we need. Or maybe this family dynamic will bring me the joy and the contentment and the life that will just make me go, oh, so awesome. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. They're good, but they are never meant to be your life source. And when you look to them for your life, you will be disappointed. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because number four, God wants to move us from stability to mystery. See, if Jesus had waited and showed up outside the tomb, if he had waited there for them, that is stability. Oh my goodness, what was going on? Jesus, 2 days, we didn't know what was going to happen. Thank God you're here, you're alive. That would have been stability. But no body in the tomb. That was a mystery. And see, this is the kind of God he is. God is more faithful than we could imagine. He is more loving. He is more compassionate. He is more kind. He is more grace-filled than we could ever imagine. Yet he is a God of great mystery. How could we ever think we could or should be able to figure him out? God, why didn't you answer my prayer? And so we exit our relationship. We exit our journey. We exit the family of God. We exit because, God, you didn't do this like I thought you would, like I wanted you to, like I've been begging you, like you said you would. God is a God of mystery. How could we ever think that we should be able to figure him out or have him work or respond or act according to what we think or want? We need. See, if you want a God you can figure out, you are not looking for the God who gave himself to suffer for you, to die, to be crucified, to die, to fight the powers of darkness in the grave, come back from the dead, rise to life, to forgive and deliver and set us free out of darkness and give us new purpose in life. That God, the one that does that for us while we were rebel sinners, that's what we all are. Apart from Jesus, Paul said in Romans, we're all rebels. Everyone say, I am a rebel. Some of you like to own that. I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel. Yes, you are. And God is going to use that for good things. But he came to forgive, deliver out of darkness, set free, make whole sin-filled rebels like us. That God is a mystery. The God who would do that when we wanted nothing to do with him. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's when he died. That's when he rose again. That God is a mystery. Here's what I know for certain, though. This is where the good news starts getting into kicking into gear. Because you're like, I thought this was supposed to be Easter. And it gets good. But you know what? You never can experience Easter before it gets really bad. And see, this is the thing. I want to speak just a moment to every kid who has been raised in the church. It is so easy for you to encounter church before you encounter Jesus. And the two are different. They're same but different. But we need to know how bad we are. And this does not mean, 13-year-old, that you need to go out and create a bad testimony in order to know how bad life is. You do not need to do that. This is not what I'm saying. But we do need to have an encounter to recognize how hopelessly lost I am without Jesus. And I think sometimes some of the teen angst that is experienced, and I'm speaking from personal experience, that teen angst that we experience, we think something's wrong with us, we think we're depressed, we think we're anxious, we think we're this, us. It's because God is allowing us to come to the grips that without him, we are absolutely hopelessly lost. And God is so faithful, because here is the good news. God is always moving towards you even when it doesn't feel like it. Look at this, Matthew 28. Go quickly, tell his disciples, the angel said, he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I've told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with the fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them. Greetings! Hey, guys! Actually, girls, he was talking to the women. And they came up to him and worshiped him. Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. Can you say there? They will see me there. You know what's so cool about that? One of the Old Testament titles or names for God is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. You will see me. They will see me there. See, Jesus had already been moving towards them just like God has always done. And see, the story of the Bible, the story of reality that we are part of, has never been about man seeking God or seeking to make ourselves worthy enough to be acceptable by God. That is an impossible feat. The story, since the doomsday, Genesis 3, where man, Adam, and Eve were in the garden, they decided to believe a lie and an accusation against God, and they chose to get life for themselves their own way. And sin and darkness and brokenness and destruction and death entered the world. Ever since that day, God has been on the move to seek man out. It was God who came seeking them out in the garden. It was God who is always seeking us out. He is always moving towards man, always moving towards us in our brokenness, in our sin, in our rebellion, in our I could care lessness about God. He is always moving towards us in order to redeem, to save, and to heal. I love what scholar N.T. Wright, he says, if the earliest disciples found Jesus coming to meet them in their tears, fears, and doubt, perhaps we can too. What a powerful promise. Jesus was moving towards the disciples in their own fear. These guys had been with him body, flesh, 3 years. And they still had doubts. So don't get too hard on yourself if you decide 2,000 years on. But Jesus is moving towards you. See, what the empty tomb does is it transforms them from mourners into messengers, from seekers into witnesses. And this is what resurrection life is all about. Because resurrection life is comfort and commission. It is comfort in that when you feel like your life or part of it, it might feel like a tomb. Maybe you very much connect with, my hope is dead. I feel dead inside. I feel numb inside. Maybe you have dead dreams or it's just a dark season. Or maybe life just stinks. See, the comfort is because of the resurrection of Jesus. Resurrection life, that comfort, is that God will use those tomb experiences. He will use those things. He will take it and he will transform it to be used for his purposes if we'll let him. The tomb becomes a womb for new creation life to be released. And see, it's not just what happened to Jesus. That's what God does with the dead places in our life. He wants to turn those tombs into a womb where new creation life comes. Resurrection life has overcome the grave, and God's resurrection life is what carries us through. Can you say through? We want away from the grave. God's going, nope, you're going through it. Our prayers can be, God, save me from this. Rest, save me from this. And God's like, you know what? This thing is actually going to transform you into a man of power and courage and consistency. Going through this, you want God to just remove this thing. And God's going, you're going to go through this grave experience through my life and my power and ability. And it is going to transform you. You are going to become a woman of prayer. You are going to become a man of character. You are going to become a woman of stability. We don't escape it. We go through it. But it's resurrection life that has overcome the grave that carries us through our own grave experiences that we find ourselves in. Maybe it is a marriage that is breaking up or has broken up or looks like it's on the verge of it or a crisis or a conflict. Maybe your grave experience is loss. Loss of friendships or loved ones or maybe financial security. Maybe it's a health crisis or body breakdown. Maybe a grave experience is a crisis with your kids. It's heartbreak. Maybe the future that you'd hoped for, dreamed about, planned, worked hard for, extinguished. Or maybe it's just dead, numb, non-existent faith. Resurrection life carries us through the grave experiences. Because resurrection life is not just for us. It's meant to come through us. Resurrection life is comfort and it is also commission. It is not one and or the other. It is both. Resurrection life is not just for us. It's meant to come through us. See, something changed in creation when Jesus rose from the grave. Something changed. It wasn't just Jesus rising. It was a new kind of reality that was being released into all of creation for all of time. So that even though what we might experience now, we might see or experience things that are broken or things that are maybe bring disappointment to us, things of heartbreak, even though we might experience it. It's what the theologians have this very simple but kind of technical term. It's the now and not yet of God's new creation kingdom reality. In other words, it's an inaugurated kingdom, but the fullness is yet to come when Jesus returns, which he is. He's playing hide and seek again. So that even though what we see and experience now is brokenness, a lot of things that aren't work, a lot of things that are unjust, there is also a different realm that we are invited to live in and to live from, and it's resurrection reality. And this is what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 5. Sorry, guys, I didn't give you this one. Media, great. 5:16. From now on, then, Paul says, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There is new creation reality. The old, what is Paul talking about? The old life, the old way of reality, the old reality that was under this curse of sin and darkness and death because of man's failing. That old reality has passed away. See, the new has come, and it's coming. And see, this is where God invites us to trust us in this tension and mystery. The now and not yet. And he commissions us not to just go, see, everything's great now. I came through it. I got the answer to prayer. I'm healed. Everything's fixed. No, it's in the middle of it is where God invites us to boldly declare and believe and declare. There is a different reality I live from. There is a different reality I live by. Where peace and hope reign in the midst of uncertainty. Where when everything in your life, where you have been betrayed by those closest to you, kindness and compassion reign over betrayal. Where in the midst of oppression, you're still free in your soul. Freedom reigns. In the midst of mundane and the ordinary, purpose reigns. Joy reigns in the midst of loss and heartbreak. Good news reigns in the midst of a grave, and God's love is the final word. That is what resurrection life is all about. It's not just the promise that when you die and you have received the life of Jesus Christ in your life, you said, Jesus, I am going to follow you. You are my Lord. You are the King. You are the Savior of all, and I'm giving my life to follow you. Resurrection life isn't just a promise that when we die, we'll go to heaven someday. It's a promise of resurrection life now. And yes, we rise from the grave, but Jesus is coming back and there's a new kingdom he's setting up on earth. But this is what it looks like in every day. Here's what it looks like tomorrow. Here's what it looks like. What does resurrection look like on Tuesday when you're back at school? It looks like being the person in your friend group who doesn't bail when things get hard. Resurrection life is sitting with your friend in their grief not trying to fix it. Resurrection life is being honest and genuine when everybody else is performing. Resurrection is trusting and believing and declaring that Jesus, you are alive, and you are alive for me, and I have resurrection life. Even in this mundane activity, driving to the next job site, phoning the next customer, going to math again, changing more diapers, cleaning up puke for the third time in the day, Jesus, you are alive, and there is purpose in the mundane. He is not here, but you will see him there. He is not here, but you will see him there, because he is Jehovah Shema, the God who is there. See, salvation and following Jesus is not only about believing in resurrection. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It means you believe in resurrection, but not only believe it, it means you expect resurrection life in your everyday. You expect resurrection life, resurrection power in the everyday ordinary experiences. The comfort of resurrection is the commission of resurrection, because we are to be carriers of that resurrection life to the people that we love, to the people that we don't love, to the people that we encounter, to the everyday spaces of our life, to see those spaces transformed with the life of Jesus. I want to invite you to stand. And before we sing a song that is, oh, so good, Nobody. But I want to invite you to close your eyes. And before we do, I want to give an opportunity this morning for any here who do not know Jesus, or maybe you feel far from him. See, the empty tomb is an open door. That's what's so powerful. It wasn't only to show that, wow, he's not here, he's risen. But that's an open door, that God has opened the door between heaven and earth. There is an open door now between God and man. Jesus has dealt with our sin. He has paid our debt. He has redeemed us. He has set us free. Now you need to say, Jesus, I want that. You need to believe. Faith is believing, and it's receiving what has already been done for you. That is how we appropriate it. And see, maybe you've been carrying something dead. Maybe it's just you feel dead. Maybe it's dead hope. Maybe it's a version of yourself that died a long time ago. And maybe you're just dead because you don't know Jesus. I want to pray. Can we pray? I want to invite you to close your eyes. We're going to pray this prayer together. And it's a prayer of saying, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to follow you. And here's the thing again. God is an incredible mystery. We don't get it all figured out, and then, okay, now I have all the facts, I'm going to do this. It actually makes sense on the way. And God, all right, let's pray together. Say, Jesus, thank you for everything you have done. Your life, your death, rising from the grave, and ascending to be with the Father. Jesus, for my life, thank you. And I say yes to the gift of salvation and resurrection life, new creation life. You said is mine now. I receive this life. I want to follow you. I want to live with you on mission, being a carrier and releaser of resurrection life into my world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.